Thanks for checking out this weekly Sunday message from Carrollton UMC. We pray that God will use this to speak to you and help you grow in faith. We invite you to join us this Sunday at our 10:30 a.m. one-hour service, in person at our location in Uptown New Orleans, or live online on our YouTube channel or Facebook page. To learn more about Carrollton, please visit carrolltonumc.com, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Our scripture this evening comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. The word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in all ways, for you are our rock and our ever-present Redeemer. Amen. So if you've ever watched an action movie when the main character is in a car chase, at some point, you know, you see the car of the enemy coming directly at the main character, and they're going at each other full throttle, and you know that somebody's going to veer off to avoid the perceived danger of running into each other. I almost named this sermon tonight Playing Chicken, which is what I just described. It's what we did as kids on bicycles. We'd come at each other full blast, and eventually one of us would first chicken out before the other, before we ran into each other. It seems prudent in both of those described circumstances to back off, to avoid the crash. Sometimes in life, in serious stuff like matters of faith, it seems like we're playing a game of chicken. But as it turns out, we shouldn't be. The image of that game is in my mind as I read today's scripture today. Simon, also known as Peter, is a dedicated disciple. He throws himself fully into everything, into every situation, in every conversation, maybe sometimes when he shouldn't. And at the end of the Passover meal, on the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas, which started the domino effect of the arrest and Jesus being beaten and then unfairly tried and eventually crucified. On that very night in the upper room, an argument breaks out among the disciples on which one is the greater or greatest of the disciples. I can imagine Jesus like, thanks, guys. That's just what I needed. And Jesus breaks up that argument by telling the disciples, look, in the kingdom of God, there's a reversal. The least will be the greatest. And then without missing a beat, Jesus looks over at Peter and tells him that the enemy, Satan, is about to tempt him, to sift him like wheat. In other words, Peter's about to go head to head with the enemy. And here, in one of the most gripping verses in the Bible, Jesus tells Peter that Jesus has already prayed for Peter, and he's prayed that Peter won't fail. Still, this doesn't mean that the tempting won't come. And it doesn't mean that Peter will overcome the temptation, even with Jesus praying for him. In fact, we know that Peter fails. He has free will. He denies Jesus three times, just as Jesus said he would. Peter is playing chicken with being all that he can be. He's playing chicken with being the disciple, the truly dedicated one to Jesus. All that turns out to be more than Peter thinks he can handle, and Peter cannot overcome his fears. When he denies that he knows Jesus, when he veers his car away from what it would entail to be fully dedicated to Christ. Can there be a more condemning set of circumstances? Jesus says you're going to be tempted, says he prays for you, and he tells you exactly what's going to happen. And you tell Jesus, that'll never happen to me. I'll never do that. and then you go right ahead and do it anyway, how much worse can it get for you in front of God? Well, that's not the end of Peter's story. In fact, in the scripture we just read, Jesus had said even more to him. He says, and Peter, when you have turned back, or put another way, Peter, when you have reversed course, I have a plan for you. Jesus knows that Peter's going to fail, but he also knows that Peter will use that experience, even the circumstances of complete and utter failure, to help others and to eventually orchestrate the start of the Christian church, the very church you're sitting in today. We've all made messes in our lives and have felt the regret. However, if Peter, in the very presence of the living Christ, can do what he did, bail out when the going gets tough, but then nonetheless later reverse course to be a great disciple and a great leader, so can we. We can accept Jesus' forgiveness. We can abandon our regret, and we can let Jesus use our personal reversal for his glory and for his purpose. We need to recognize and accept that process, because the alternative is that we wallow in our regret throughout our lives and beat ourselves up over our mistakes, and our sins become our shackles. After all his mess ups, we know that Peter reversed course just as Jesus said that Peter would. Jesus never abandoned Peter. Likewise, Jesus will never abandon us. Indeed, while we are asking other people, please pray for me, pray for me. Did you know that Jesus himself is interceding for us and for you with his own prayers, just like he was doing for Peter? And when we surrender our regrets of our sins to God, which requires us first right to admit our sins, you can't surrender that if you don't admit that you sinned, and repent, which is a purposeful reversing of the course in an effort to avoid sinning like that again, we experience forgiveness in its fullest, including God bestowing on us the freedom of second chances. The Apostle Paul, who was a classic bad actor, a murderer of Christians until Jesus prevailed upon his sensibilities, wrote to the Philippians about his own struggles. Paul told them, he said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on with the goal toward winning the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Today, in the intentional space and time that you have created for God, did you know that you did that by coming to church tonight? You created an intentional space and time in your life for you and for God in the church that Jesus started with Peter, for all who believe in Jesus, excluding none. Today, in this intentional space and time, reflect on where you are headed. Do you need to reverse course in any area of your life? Are you holding on to any mistakes which have you chained to them, which drag you down like an anchor? Surrender that regret to God. Offer that regret up to Jesus. Ask Jesus, take that pain away from me and guide you on reversing your course, a new course straight in the direction of Jesus' love for you, knowing that your best days to be a witness to other people concerning the grace and forgiveness of God that you will be experiencing, just like Peter and Paul, those best days are ahead of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Lord, how often do we neglect to take advantage of the gifts that you give us in terms of those chances, because we want to be in control. We want to say, we'll right the ship. We'll fix the wrongs, when in fact, Lord, only you can do that. Only you can forgive sins. And you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us tonight so that we can have those sins forgiven. We thank you for that, Lord. Ask you to open our minds and hearts to the understanding of the crucifixion and on Easter, the appreciation of the resurrection. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your son, our Lord and Savior. Amen.